that would take us up to about 1945, I guess. But one of the things that I remember about World War II is Fort McClellan. Fort McClellan was very active during those years. In the first years of the war, they had most of college students. You know, college students were called out in, among the first. And among the first students to come were University of Mississippi and Mississippi State. I remember boys from those two colleges. And they were really the cream of the crop, you know. They were just lovely boys. And we had a recreation center here where this one is. It's not the same building. That one burned later on. But I guess the government built it. Anyhow, it was a lovely building. And those boys would come up. They'd bring them on the bus. And the girls from Jacksonville State would go up there under, they were chaperones, you know.
Yeah.
But that's, chaperones had disappeared, but they were chaperones. And they would have dances, and the army bands would play for them, you know. Not the, they were more of an orchestra than they were a band, but they didn't have musicians.
Yeah.
From Fort McClellan would play for them. And my daughter was the age to enjoy that, you know. She was about 16, I think, and she enjoyed it. And they didn't date the soldiers so much, but they would have things at the recreation center that they could enjoy together. And I remember one thing that that happened to us. There was a boy from Mississippi State that my daughter and her friends liked. His name was Frank Gwynn. And he was just a lovely boy, and he used to come up here a lot. And he'd come out to the college. And one night, and the parents would go to the recreation center and sit around on the side, you know, and watch the dancing. And one night, Marion brought him over and introduced him to me. And she said, "Mother, this is Frank Gwynn." And I said, "Frank Gwynn?" I said, my brother had a roommate at Tennessee Military Institute named Frank Gwynn. And he said, "Well, I'm Frank Gwynn Jr."
What a coincidence.
And I thought it was, too. But anyhow, that was a very pleasant period in the life of this community, because those boys were, for the most part, boys character, and boys that had been well-read, you know. And it was a nice time for the young women of this town, because all the men had gone, you know. They were in the service.
So McClellan wasn't around in World War One?
What?
Fort McClellan wasn't around in World War One?
Was it
around? McClellan? Was it there in World War One?
Oh, yeah, it was in World War One. It was built, I think, during World War One.
Oh, okay.
And they would have dances at Fort McClellan, and my husband and I would always go. They would have a number of chaperones. We'd go in the bus with the girls, and they'd have such a good time. It was just a really very pleasant time for the girls. Later on, of course, those boys were taken out and sent on somewhere else, and this Frank Gwynn Jr. that I mentioned became a prisoner of war.
Oh, really?
And he was a prisoner of the Germans for a number of years.
What happened to him?
Well, he came back safe and sound, we kept up with him for several years. He married, and married some girl over in Mississippi. But we just gradually lost touch, you know, and I don't know where he is now, what became of it. But he was a prisoner, and we had another young man from here who was a prisoner of war. He was a veteran, and he was a prisoner of war for a number of years, too. I've forgotten. I used to know the name of the prisons were called Stalag, S-T-A-L-A-G, you know.
Yeah.
And they'd be numbered, Stalag, such and such a number. I don't remember about that. But Fort McClellan was a very important place during World War II. And always has been, you know. It's been used for so many different things.
Yeah.
It's been used for summer encampments, you know, when National Guards would come and different things. Of course, it's a military police fort now. That's and one of the important things about Fort McClellan has been the chemical school. Now, the chemical school was started in World War II, and my daughter's husband, Phil Currier, came here. He was a pilot, and I don't know how they chose the ones that came, but he came and was a student for 3 months. That's when Matt and me out at Fort McClellan, and the chemical school, I believe it's still in operation. I'm not sure about that. But anyhow, I imagine the chemical school will survive with all the changes that are going on because of nuclear inventions and things of that kind.
Pretty scary. Okay, what about let's go back a bit to World War One. When the what was the U.S. attitude? What was the attitude?
About what?
Like about neutrality or versus entering?
I think it was pretty wholehearted for us to go in.
Oh really?
I don't think there was much. Of course, I was not old enough to think seriously about things like that, like I would now. But I think it was, in fact, I guess that a lot of people thought we ought to come in sooner than we did.
Oh, really?
We almost waited till England was just completely collapsed.
What about Woodrow Wilson? What do you think of him?
I was an admirer of Woodrow Wilson. And you know, he started the League of Nations, which is now the
UN.
And as I said, I was too young at that time to be able to tell you much about it, but it was a good idea. And I think he was an idealist.
Yeah.
He was a very high-type person, and of course, brilliantly educated.
Yes.
My granddaughter lives in Stanton, Virginia, and that's where he was born. They have a lot of things in Stanton that the tourists go to see, the home where he was born, and different things. And the other day, I had a note from somebody, and they had a picture of his home in Columbia, South Carolina. He lived his teenage years in Columbia, South Carolina. It was a beautiful colonial type home. And it seems as his father was a professor in the Presbyterian Seminary and also pastor of the Presbyterian Church. And so during his teenage years, he lived in Columbia, South Carolina.
Really? He must have quite a following.
Yes, I think, of course, his last few years, you know, were sad. He was ill. I don't know how long he was ill. And history has recorded that his wife kept his illness from Congress and from other people in authority, and that she really made the decisions and things, you know.
Yeah.
So.
What about one of my favorites, Warren Harding?
Well, I don't think anybody respected Warren Harding.
But at the time when he first came in, did you vote then?
I doubt it. I don't remember.
But people really liked him when he first came.
But I don't think people really knew what he was. And then communication was not what it is now. You know, now you know everything about everybody.
Yeah.
There's nothing sacred then. You know, everything is open. But then it was a long time before people found out about his gambling and.
Yeah.
And the different things that caused scandals. You know.
Yeah. What about Calvin Coolidge?
Well, I think people respected Calvin Coolidge, but they didn't. I don't think they thought he was a great man in any way. And the main thing I remember about Calvin Coolidge is that he had a beautiful wife. And had two sons, and one of the sons died while they were in the White House.
Oh, right, yeah, that's right.
And history says that he never recovered from that, you know, that he was so grieved that he never got over his son's death. I've forgotten what, it seemed like it was blood poison.
He died at 16, so.
He was just a young boy, I think. And, of course, he was a typical New Englander. I think he was from Vermont, and he never said but one or two words at the time, you know. Yeah, there's a joke they tell, I don't know that I remember it well, that's not, but anyhow, he went to church and somebody asked him what the preacher preached about, and he said sin, and that was a typical, you know, it just
one word,
yeah.
Okay, when did the, what about the women's vote? That was in what,
1921? I believe it was 1921.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't vote until after I married. And my husband, I never had to cast whether I voted or not. But he wanted me to vote, and I registered and voted after we were married in 1924. So I did not vote until 1924.
Okay, so that was your first election.
Mm-hmm.
So have you noticed a big difference between women's rights today and women's rights then? Like, is it really advanced a lot?
Yes, indeed. For instance, the argument is going on now about the district attorney.
Yeah,
you know,
so we bear.
People, women wanting to feminists, you know, they want everything that the men have got, and I guess it's all right. I just never have been a feminist.
Yeah.
I just, I think women could have their influence without marching up and down the streets or having demonstrations and things. I never have been.
But back then, how much influence did you have, or did women have?
I don't guess they had very much, except what they had with their home families.
Yeah. What was the family values like then?
What?
What were the family values like? Were the more families closer?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
I think that children probably had more respect for the parents than some children do now.
Yeah.
And they felt more responsibility for them than they do now. You know, when I was growing up, and of course this continued for a long time, I don't know when it began changing, but elderly people lived with their children or their grandchildren. You know, they weren't put in nursing homes and places for other people to care for. Well, of course, times have changed, you know. It's just impossible for people to do that now. But I remember, I only remember one great-grandpa, and that was my great-grandmother on my mother's side. And she lived with her son, but she'd go around and visit her grandchildren, you know, and stay a while with them. She'd come to our house and stay a while. And people, there's just one such thing as a nursing home or a retirement home or anything that children, grandchildren just took care of them, you know.
That's somewhere that got lost.
But as I said, times have changed, and it's just not possible because so many women have to work now to make a living. And they just have their hands full. Just don't.
Yeah.
I just hope I won't ever have to be dependent on my daughter. She says she's not ever going to let me go to a nursing home. And I don't want to go to a nursing home.